This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
This is Grosse Us. Grosse Us. It's our way of saying thank you to the sports figures out there making headlines.
This show is flying by. Absolutely flying by because it's 8 o'clock already, and that means it is Grosse Us time right here on 98.7 ESPN. So many things to get to. Like I said, this is like the board looks like a lit up Christmas tree. There's so much stuff that we have for you here. So let us not waste a minute of time. And we'll start with some football here.
Grosse Us.
And we'll get into all the draft, and we touched on it a little bit here. But as far as the Giants are concerned, you know, there were some interesting things that now people are having in these mock drafts as to what they could do, who they could trade up for. Brian Daboll was asked that question. Does he pay attention at all to anything with these mock drafts?
I look at them. I definitely look at them because there's, you know, there's probably some people that are communicating with other people and they think this and they think that. But I don't know if the mock draft's ever been 100% in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you trust your work of your evaluation, people in your building, and then make the best decision for yourself.
Here's the thing to remember about the mock drafts. Look, I understand everybody's got a job to do and people put in the work. They have sources, relationships built, and all those type of things. But do you really and truly think that any team, whether it be executive, personnel man, you name it, do you really think that they're going to give away state secrets to anybody and maybe jeopardize what their true intentions are come draft time? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I know it makes the conversation keep churning. It gives us something to talk about. But do you really think the teams are just willingly going to give up information and trust so willingly? Anyway.
Grosse Us.
Daniel Jones, right? That is the guy right now in the Giants organization. All eyes are going to be on him. Once training camp rolls around, how far along has he come in his rehabilitation after the knee surgery? Well, Daniel, how's the rehab going?
Rehab's going well. Making good progress, coming along. Obviously spent a lot of time with the trainers here and strength staff. So the plan is to be ready to go by training camp. Feel good about being ready.
You feel you're the best quarterback that the Giants could have to start their season with?
I do, yes.
There you go. So he's confident. He's very confident. Now, I have to say it because it's kind of like the elephant in the room. Harvey, you saw the Zoom, right, with Daniel Jones yesterday?
Yeah, I kind of know where this is going.
Yeah, you know where it's going. Like, I just hope he's okay because the eyes were like, looking like they were ready to like pop through your screen.
I feel like every time we see him from now on, it's just that's just going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it gave you like the Adam Gase flashbacks from his press conference. I hope everything is cool. But and I know that those are weird because you're sitting in a room and you're like staring at the screen. You know, literally, like there's a computer screen, like a giant monitor in front of you, and that's what you're looking at on these Zoom press conferences.
All right, crazy ass killer.
That's a great episode, by the way. Crazy Eyes Killer. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe he needs, you know, he left his glasses at home or he didn't have his contacts in or whatever. And so he was like kind of straining a little to see. It's possible. Did look a little off. Well, what about the depth chart and the quarterback position, right? All these rumors the Giants could go draft the quarterback. They signed Drew Lock. How does he think he fits into the whole pecking order at the all-important position?
If you're healthy, you know, this summer in training camp, which you hope to be, and going on into the season, you feel you're the best quarterback that the Giants could have to start their season with?
I do, yes.
That doesn't inspire confidence. I mean, right, I'm ready to run through a brick wall. I'm sure the doctors and the trainers told him not to because he's still on the mend from the knee surgery, but if you're a Giant fan and that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will. The hell with drafting a quarterback. I'll take a kicker. I'll take a kicker. I got my guy.
Grosse Us.
Keep the Giant theme going here for a few minutes. Mike Kafka's the play caller. Well, he was, then he wasn't. Now he might be again. You get the idea, right? The offensive coordinator. What did he think about the Giants losing their number one option on offense, Saquon Barkley?
first and foremost, I mean, Saquon's a hell of a player, hell of a person. You know, I was very lucky to be around him here for the couple of years, and I wish him nothing but the best. I think, you know, where we're at right now, we're in day one. So we have a lot of new players that have come in. We're trying to get introduction, trying to, you know, get them into our program and how we want to run our offense, and just kind of the start from, you know, build it from day one on and create trust and create energy within the offense. And so these new guys are coming in, and some of the guys that we had last year as well, they're building on that. So we got a lot right now as an offense that we're working through. You know, Saquon was great for us, and he's a great player. Again, I wish him nothing but the best. But right now we're moving on to what we have to get accomplished, and that's, you know, getting our guys together and working towards our goals.
Yeah, which means Mike Kafka's probably banging on Joe Shane's office every single day. Like, hey, Joe, you getting ready to draft a wide receiver on the 25th? Hey, Joe, just me. Kafka. Play caller sometimes. Need a wide receiver. Need some help. Didn't want to pay the running back. How about we get a pass catcher? Darren Waller might retire. Somebody got to catch the ball, please. Speaking of the play calling, the relationship with Brian Daboll, where does that stand right now?
I love working with Dabes. I love working for Dabes. It's been a collaborative process. Have we got all the results that we wanted each and every day? Sure, we want to go and win every single game, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And so, you know, we go through the ups and downs of a season, and, you know, we're all competitive. We all want to win, and that's what I love about him.
Dude, it's April 16th. My opinion for the New York Football Giants has not changed one bit, even going back to February, as to what they should do in this draft. Get a playmaker in here. Get a guy who could take the top off the defense and actually scare defenses. Okay, because they haven't had one of these guys in forever, at least not on the outside. Go get him. You're sitting there at 6. One of them will be there. Get him. I think Daniel Jones wouldn't mind either.
Grasa us.
Let's do some hockey. Congrats to the Islanders. They're going to the playoffs. Remember just a few weeks ago, the whole world counted them out before they caught fire and closed out very, very strongly here in this season. Right, Cal Clutterbuck?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the amount of times that we were told we were down and out and toast is probably the most I've seen in a year. But we were never down and out. You know, when we needed to win the big one, we won the big one, and then we won the next one, and then we won the next one, and we woke up the next day and did what we had to do, and we battled through a ton of adversity, and that can only help a group.
Patrick Waugh looks like a genius now at this point, right? He had the secret sauce. Coaching change was necessary from Lou Lamoriello, and Patrick Waugh accomplished the mission, got the team to the postseason.
Well, we're going to enjoy tonight, and then we're going to focus on our game against Pittsburgh on the Thursday night. But, I mean, from my past experience, everything is possible. You know, nobody gave us our chance in Montreal in 86 or 93, and we just played one game at a time, and we didn't look more than that. And I think right now, let's finish our season, and I guess there's a good chance it'd be Carolina, so it'd be interesting for us.
Somebody tell the coach, though, that their game against Pittsburgh is Wednesday, not Thursday. You know, because he's not going to be at the rink on Wednesday night if he thinks it's Thursday. You think they told him? Hopefully somebody did. Hey, Patrick, the game's Wednesday. But he's proud of this team for getting to the playoffs.
Very, very, very proud. I mean, they played some very good hockey down the stretch, and they were resilient. They worked together. I mean, we learned how to win. And what I love is again, today, I mean, tonight, it was a 2-1 score. The score made it 2-1, and I felt like we were calm, and we didn't change our game, and that's a really good sign. I mean, that makes me extremely proud of these guys.
I mean, he's not going to admit it, but, I mean, you know, there really wasn't that much to worry about. I mean, the Devils packed it in a long time ago, and, you know, it was fait accompli that the Islanders were going to find a way to win that game. But congratulations to everybody over there for them getting to the playoffs. And it's not going to be easy against Carolina, but the Islanders are going to make it tough on them, that's for sure.
Grasa us.
Meantime, the Rangers, mentioned them earlier in the program as well. They clinched everything there is to clinch. Metropolitan, Eastern Conference, President's Trophy. It is all going down Broadway, something that certainly pleases Peter Laviolette.
Boxes are checked, so it was good. I mean, it was a good regular season. You know, you got to do well in this part of the process in order to get a chance to play for the Cup, and so we're able to do that. And I think the guys are really excited to move forward, looking forward to that and getting going with the playoffs.
Now, if we can only get an opponent and we can get this schedule mapped out for both the NBA and the NHL, that would make things a lot easier, I think, on all of us, don't you think?
Grasa us.
All right, how about some basketball? How about the Knicks? They were back at it today. They took Monday off after having to play overtime on Sunday. That's going to be like us, Harv. You know, we have to play overtime tonight. Got to do an extra 30 minutes, so we're going to take tomorrow off. We're going to be back at it on Thursday. Knicks were back at it in Westchester today, practicing. And, you know, you and I talked about it earlier in the show. Heat, Sixers, Sixers, Heat. Any preferences to who the Knicks should play in the first round? The coach was asked that question. You think he actually would bite?
At this time of the year, they're both great teams. You know, when you're looking at it, people are saying, well, what about this team, that team? Well, if you've gotten this far, every team poses different problems, you know, and so we have to be ready. And that's why, like, I know you guys think it, like, it's cliche, but that's why you start the season and you say, this is what you're going to need in the end. So you want to build that habit all year long. So you, when you get here, you're not adjusting. This isn't the first time we've done it. You know what I mean? And I think understanding what their strengths and weaknesses are, what they're doing well right now, and what we have to do is a big part of winning.
That is a masterclass in giving a giant non-answer by Tom Thibodeau. Because you don't want to insult either side. You don't want to give them any bulletin board material or any fodder or anything like that. And Tibbs just aced it, right? But what about Jalen Brunson as far as the expectations for this Knicks team in the playoffs?
There's going to be a lot of expectation, and if I know what MSG can do, it's going to be pretty loud. And so, but I think for us, just focus on the things we can control, and don't worry about anything on the outside. Just focus on those inside those lines and do what we got to do.
Well, regardless of who the Knicks are going to play, right, whether it's Philadelphia with Joel Embiid or whether it's Miami with Bam Adebayo, I mean, there's going to be a dude in the middle that the Knicks are going to have to account for. And that's going to fall on Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. So remember, Mitchell Robinson is still trying to get his legs back to 100% after missing all that time with the injury. How is that ankle, Mitch?
I've seen a few different possibilities of what it could have been. It's just landing on each one was different. So I don't really know exactly which one it was, but it's all right, though. Came in, got some treatment done.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you say you
were
cold today and everything's fine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did they say?
I just landing. Like, it was like jammed up pretty much. It didn't turn and then just the way I landed.
Well, remember, he also sat the second half of that game on Sunday as a precautionary measure. He'll be good to go come Saturday against, well, we'll find out who tomorrow, right?
Grasa, us?
All right, now, one of the many storylines in these play-in games over the next couple of nights is the one in the nightcap later that you're going to hear right here on 98.7 ESPN beginning at 9:30. And that's the Golden State-Sacramento game, because Golden State, if it doesn't fire for them again this year, I mean, they may look a little bit different next season. You know, you're starting to see this core kind of go their separate ways, and maybe it will be happening a little bit faster over the next couple of years. Klay Thompson, who's already now been relegated to bench duty because his knees just aren't where they once were, but he's still dangerous. He's also a free agent come the summertime. Klay Thompson was asked earlier today at the shoot-around if he given any thought that tonight, if they lose, could be his last game as a Golden State Warrior.
No. That's life, man. Like, can't let it. There's so much success here. I'm not going to let whatever the future happens make me salty about what I've been able to accomplish in a Warrior uniform. So I don't let that seep in at all.
That is a time-honored tradition in media where if you go interview basketball players or coaches at a morning shoot-around, you're going to hear the bouncing of the balls in the back, whether it's at the gym, whether it's at the arena, whatever. And then it says all you hear is ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. So you almost like lose concentration as to what the guy's actually saying. The guy could be sitting there giving you the secret of life, and all you're going to hear are 10,000 basketballs bouncing in the background.
That's right!
Exactly. All right, one more to go.
Grasa, us?
Yeah, yes, indeed. Remember R.J. Barrett? He used to play for the Knicks, right? Fans didn't want to trade him. They wanted to hold on to him forever and ever. Until the Knicks did. And I don't know, did you ever stop and think, where would the Knicks be if the trade wasn't made? Right? If R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley were still Knicks, would they be the 2 seed right now in the Eastern Conference? It's a fascinating question. I don't think they'd go on a 20-3 spurt like they have with OG Anunoby. I can promise you that, because they haven't done that ever in RJ Barrett's time here. But I digress. You know, the Raptors had their baggy day, cleanup day up in Toronto because they're not making the playoffs. And one of the things that the media was asking R.J. Barrett about was his defense, you know, or lack thereof, and how much work he's going to do in the summertime and trying to improve that aspect of his game. And, you know, the people up there in Toronto, don't forget OG Anunoby, how well he is as a defensive player, and the guy that R.J. Barrett was traded for. So that was brought up to the former Knick.
And defense as well, to make sure that, you know, I'm better there, especially because everybody here has been watching OG for a lot of years. And I'm not that, because first of all, he's like one of the best defenders I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, just trying to work on that to get better.
He's never going to be a defensive stopper. I mean, we knew that while he was here, but he'd still be a really good player and not have to measure up to somebody like OG Anunoby, who, as RJ said, and we know, he's an all-NBA defensive player, OG Anunoby. He takes the number one guy on the other team. That's the value of having him. All right, so that is Grassa Us here for this Tuesday. That is a good – I told you there was a lot of stuff. I didn't lie to you. I mean, we did everything. We gave you everything in that Grassa Us except the thing that you stick your four fingers into that they give out at soccer games, apparently. The keychain. When we come back, something odd happened tonight at Citi Field. And it didn't involve the Mets and it didn't involve the Pirates, but something really strange happened on the field. We'll tell you what that is and try and actually make sense of it, too, when we return. We go till 9:30, then it's Golden State Sacramento basketball right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Our Twitter poll question of the night. Who do you want the Knicks to face in round number one, Heat or the 76ers? You could vote on it at Dan Grosse. It's getting close, Harv. It is a very, very close race right now. The Sixers are just ahead by a nose. 51% and change to 48% and change. Sixers over the Heat. So we'll see. We're going to keep that one up for a couple more hours, so we shall see what the totals are when all is said and done. Now, I don't know much about this, but it's still a strange story. Apparently, this weekend, is it this weekend, Harv? Is this when this fight is going to be?
It's on the 20th. It's on Saturday, yep.
It's on the 20th. Where is it going to be?
Is it in Vegas? I believe the fight's going to be in the Barclays.
Well, it's got to be here, right? Because, I mean, why would they be here if it's not in the New York area? I mean, I don't think the fight is out in Vegas if they're doing some promotional stuff here.
Yeah, it's at the Barclays.
All right, So Saturday, and is it UFC?
No, it's Golden Boy Promotions. Devin Haney fights Ryan Garcia. It's boxing.
Okay, it's boxing.
Yep.
So Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. I can't say that I'm familiar with either one. I'm not a big boxing guy. They were scheduled to throw out the first pitch tonight before the Mets-Pirates game. They couldn't get anybody else, by the way? Like anybody? And apparently the Mets officials pulled the plug on it after the fighters arrived. This is according to Chris Mannix of SI, because they didn't want to risk an incident on the field. Like they were going to throw hands or something on the pitcher's mound. Wouldn't that be funny if like Jose Quintana sitting there like waiting for them to throw the first pitch, like the pitcher usually has to wait for whoever's throwing out the first pitch. And he's standing by like waiting for them to get done. And all of a sudden they just like come to like massive blows. Like, what do you do if you're Jose Quintana, like, while they're fighting? That's got to be an awkward position. I would take the rosin bag and throw it at him. Like, stop! Hey, stop! Knock it off. We got to play a baseball game. You're ruining it for everybody. So they didn't want to risk an incident. Yeah, they're going to face off Saturday. It's right here. They're going to face off Saturday at the Barclays Center. They also scuffled earlier today at the Empire State Building. That was a photo op situation, I assume?
It was like a photo op. It's the dumbest place that I can think of to hype up a fight.
And they went all the way to the top, I assume?
Yes, the very top. Which, if you've ever been there, it's quite steep.
Yeah, I mean, it's got some, you know, it's got some floors to it, yeah. I read.
Shoved them in the face.
So they, yeah, not for nothing, unless it's a... like a Batman movie or a Spider-Man movie, and somebody's going to be able to, like, save me? If you go tumbling out of the top floor of the Empire State Building, like, that's probably not the place to get into any sort of physical contact. Fair?
Very fair.
Now, what else? Now, did you say something else happened with this? That there was another thing? Like, with the Mets put out some statement or something?
I'm not sure if the Mets put out a statement, but, I mean, the fact that... By the way, the shove happened at around 1 p.m. So they've been in the city the whole day with their teams.
Were they hanging out all day?
They did some interviews, some press.
But they probably didn't have lunch with one another, dinner with one another.
No, not even close.
So they're not just like putting on an act. This is real.
Apparently it's real. It's about as bad a fight promotion that I've seen in quite some time. I mean, there's like little juice for this fight. Apparently, ticket sales have not gone well either.
So nobody's. I never even heard of this thing. Like normally, you get inundated with these ads, you know, for whatever they are. But this is the first time hearing of it. That's why I asked you. I said, "Who?" I only saw the names, and I said, "Harb, who are these people?" They were supposed to throw out the first pitch at the Mets game tonight, and they pulled the plug on it. I don't know if they were like diplomats from out of town or something. I don't know if it was like UN week or something. I don't know who these people are. I could care less.
So you just got to look on Ticketmaster. There's a lot of blue.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure. What are they going for, by the way?
Cheapest that I'm seeing here is $167.
Oh, my God.
And that's resale, by the way. Most expensive is over $650.
Oh, my gosh. So get
actually,
in.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Best.
Lowest price. What's get in price?
Lowest price is $166.
And that's resale.
That's resale.
Give me face value. Because you don't need resale because, like you said, there's plenty of tickets to go around.
Face value is $187.
Oh, my God. So the resale is cheaper than the face value.
And that's before taxes and everything, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Most expensive.
$167.
Most expensive face value is around $5,800.
Hey, who owns the, oh, my God, $5,800?
This is a Golden Boy. This is Oscar De La Hoya's team.
It's Oscar's team?
Yes.
Oscar. Well, you know what? I don't
Put
even
it
know
together,
if,
man.
If this ain't Oscar, because he doesn't run the Barclays Center. Here's my advice, okay? I don't know who runs the Barclays Center. I don't know who's in charge, but if they're listening to the show right now, I'm giving you free, unsolicited advice. So I'll wait a couple of seconds if you need to go grab a pen and paper. But jot this down. If get-in price for your event is $180 and they had to call off these two dudes from throwing out the first pitch at a Mets game to try to even give you a scintilla of promotion, here's my friendly advice, okay? Everybody is pinching pennies nowadays. It's rough out there. It costs money to unlock the doors to any of these arenas, whether it's Barclays, MSG, Prudential, whatever, okay? It costs money to unlock the doors and turn the lights on, fire up the grills. You don't even have to worry about that. Don't they have that big courtyard, like, right in the front of the Barclays Center, like, outside on the street? Build one of these, like, you know, rinky-dink rings outside. And then, like, you can have some bystanders who could be your audience for the fight.
They could have just done it by the train station or outside of MSG or outside of Barclays.
Do it anywhere, and it'll save you money. You cut your losses as it is. You probably get the same amount of you might even get more eyeballs. Think about it. They'd get more eyeballs on this fight from people just walking by out on the street than are actually going to maybe pay money to go inside the arena to watch this.
But I got a better idea, Dan. Let's have them up 50 floors into the stratosphere.
at the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's too funny. Imagine if they were booked to come on this show.
Oh, my God.
Now, imagine that. Now, this is me, who's not the biggest boxing guy to begin with. And they come into the studio, and I'll be like, hi, Dan Grassi, and you are?
Well, it's only Tuesday, so there's still time. Fight Saturday. No, but like, on Friday.
Put the scene in your head right now. Like, I'm sitting here, and then to the right of me, I got the one guy. Left of me, I got the other guy. And they're sitting there, like, throwing things at each other, hurling insults. And I'm sitting here trying to play, like, referee and peacemaker. You think? And meantime, their handlers, Oscar De La Hoya, is roaming the hallway, kicking around that loose soccer ball that we have out there that people like to kick up against the wall just because there's nothing to do around here.
Meanwhile, me and, like, either Julian or Joe or Chantel, whoever's back behind me, we got to put our fingers on the dub button every two seconds.
Right, and you guys are sitting there, like, because every time they open their mouth, they're probably saying something that you can't say on the radio. So there you go.
Get your tickets now.
Yo, if anybody's at Citi Field right now, like, covering this Mets game, this real barn burner between the Mets and the Pirates, the 1-0 Pirate game. Remember, the Mets don't score any runs until the 7th or the 8th inning, so give them time still. It's only the 6th. If you're covering the game tonight, just for, you know, giggles, ask Carlos Mendoza after the game. First question is post-game press conference. Not about Jose Quintana, not about the offense. Ask him, so what happened with that first pitch? How come there was no first pitch? See if he has any idea what you're talking about.
This is not a question that I expected from you.
Sammy! Oh, man. All right, 800-919. If there's any further developments as far as the boxing gate is concerned, we'll let you know. 800-919-3776. That is the number. We come back. I promised we'd talk a little bit more in detail. We had some calls about the NFL draft stuff. Let's get into it here. Because all these rumors swirling around about the Giants, what they might do, the Jets at 10, if they stand pat, what they might or might not do. Fascinating. With only 9 days to go until this shindig next Thursday night from Detroit. That's where the draft is, right? Detroit, I think, right? Detroit, I think, maybe, yes, no?
Yes.
Detroit, okay, got it. Dan Grasso Show, 98.7 ESPN. You're ruining it for everybody!
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Grasso Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The second annual DPHO and Rothenberg pregame party. That is coming up on Thursday, May the 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew is going to take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubbies. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May the 2nd. It's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Come as you are. And by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly. How far is Manhasset from Flushing? Like Citi Field on the LIRR. Is that far? Can't be, right? It's got to be no more than, what, 20 minutes? Dude, I have no idea about Long Island geography. None.
So it says 40 minutes.
40 minutes? That's a rough train ride, bro. Because you got to be up early to do that show. Like, that is prime, like, take a nap on the train if you got 40 minutes. Because those shows are hard, man. You wake up early and, you know, full of you-know-what, and then all of a sudden, like, you hit empty on the old gas tank. Then you got to, like, recharge a little bit. So this Ryan Garcia thing is fascinating to me. The thing we were just talking about, one of the fighters who's going to be at Barclays Center, nobody's going to be there. And they were at the Mets game tonight, supposedly to throw out the first pitch, and they got they got the kibosh put on it by the Mets because they didn't want, like, a war happening on the field before the game. So Ryan Garcia on his Twitter, he goes on, like, a Twitter storm, like, just eviscerating the Mets. blaming the Mets. And you know me, I'm good for any sort of a laugh. So I'm just like catching up on this because the guys pointed it out to me. He posted a video on his Instagram, like as he's walking out of Citi Field with like a couple of bodyguards and like Oscar De La Hoya right beside him. So we'll turn that video or audio around. You can hear that. But he tweets out in a series of tweets, I will expose the Mets so bad and the MLB. What's he going to expose them for? Mets let Haney in with 12 goons, and I could only bring in one security and two of my film crew. Well, I mean, that's the trade-off, right? I mean, Ryan, that's the trade-off. I'm sure that they gave him a choice. They said, "Here's you can't have it both. Can't have your cake and eat it too. You can either have 12 goons or two members of your film crew." I'm sure that the other guy, Haney, chose 12 goons, and Ryan Garcia then took two members of his film crew because the content is more important. You got to have somebody to capture the moment. And in this case, there wasn't even a moment because there was no first pitch. So I think if he had to do it all over again, he probably would have chose the goons. And then he tweets out one, which I think is very creative. Like I said, I don't know who this guy is. I didn't know about him until half an hour ago. But he tweeted out something where he goes, how could you, Mets? And then he posts four pictures. One of them is of Vince Coleman in a Cardinal uniform, but it was a link to the story of the Vince Coleman incident. Remember with the firecrackers when he was a Met. Next picture was Brett Saberhagen in a Red Sox uniform, but it was the Brett Saberhagen incident with the bleach in the locker room with the water gun. Next picture was of K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, and the story where K-Rod slugs it out in the locker room, remember, with his future father-in-law. They got into a fight after a game in the family room. And then the next picture is Bobby Bonilla in a Cardinal uniform, which, by the way, I did not even know that Bobby Bonilla wore a Cardinal uniform. That is one of those, like, I completely forgot about. And, of course, they bring up Bobby Bonilla's contract with the deferrals for, you know, now until basically the end of time. So that was funny, I thought. And then he tweeted out something that said, go Yankees. It's just great. And then this is another one, which is great. He does a screenshot. What is this, Google Translate? Of Google Translate, translating something from English to Chinese. And the English expression that he wants translated into Chinese is bleep the Mets. So you could use your imagination. Boy, he's really insulted. He's not taking this too well. Do we have that audio yet? It's coming? All right. Because I need to hear it. But he is really not handling this thing well with the Mets. Now, here's what I want to know. If the Mets don't win tonight and they're trailing 1-0 going to the seventh inning, can they use that as an excuse? Can they use that as the reason why they lost the game? The Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney incident. It was too much of a distraction. Oh, my gosh. This is great. This is great. Do we have it yet? All right, here we go. Here is, where is it? What page is it on? All right, you'll play. This is Ryan Garcia being, well, I don't even know if he's being whisked out of Citi Field. He's just walking out of his own with his entourage. Take a listen.
So, guys, the Mets just wasted 3 hours of our life to say at the end, we can't throw the pitch for whatever reason. There was no reason.
There was no reason.
And they kicked us out for no reason. So, everybody, I'm personally going to say, the Mets. Don't ever go to a f***ing Mets game again. The Mets.
Hey, Rye, you know what? Welcome to being a Mets fan, my friend, okay? Because what you just said there, the Mets wasted three hours of our lives. More often than not, when you go to a Mets game, they're going to waste 3 hours of your life, okay? Welcome to reality. Welcome to Flushing. Welcome to planet Earth, you know? Step into my shoes for all of my life as a Mets fan. Oh, my goodness. Oscar looked pretty good, though, right? He looks like he's in good shape.
Yeah, just don't ask him to fight anymore.
No, don't fight, no. What do you think the attendance is at this Mets game tonight? Probably not a lot, right? It's a Tuesday night. A little chilly out there against the Pirates. Not a sexy opponent. There's probably going to be, you know what? There were probably still going to be more people at the Mets game tonight than there will be at that fight on Saturday. So, like, that first pitch would have been his, like, shining moment. And now it's all for naught. Mets wasted 3 hours of our lives. I went to the Mets game on Sunday. I had a great time. It was more than 3 hours. They didn't waste any of my time, and it rained. It rained during the Doc Gooden ceremony. That was a blast. It really was. Good to see. All right, 800-919-3776. 9:30 we go till tonight. Leading you right up into Sacramento Golden State. Game two of the Western Conference play-in tournament games. We have reached the half of the first one. The Lakers have a 10-point lead on the Pels, 60-50, 15 for LeBron James. Remember, the winner of this game tonight is the 7 seed, and they will play the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs. Football draft talk coming up next. Dan Grosser Show, 98.7 ESPN. Stop! Hey, stop! Knock it off!
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The NFL draft stuff, there's a common theme of late where most people so-called in the know seem to feel that the Giants are indeed going to go out there and get a quarterback at some point in this draft. Now, the only question is, and I would agree with them. All right, I mean, I would be shocked if the Giants don't come out of this draft those 3 days without a quarterback. Just don't know when it's going to happen. Now, they could stand pat at number 6 and probably get a guy that they rate pretty high, I would think, if indeed they were looking quarterback at 6. But you saw earlier today, there was a mock that had them trading up to number 4 with the Arizona Cardinals to assure themselves of getting the 4th quarterback, because QBs are going to be 1, 2, 3. Caleb Williams is going to go first. Jaden Daniels is probably going 2nd to Washington, and then Drake May is likely going 3rd to the New England Patriots. So Arizona's sitting there at number 4, and you know that they don't need a quarterback because they have Kyler Murray. So the draft really begins at 4. Now, are the Cardinals going to pull the trigger and maybe slide out of there before the draft even gets underway? Maybe yes, maybe no. Are they even going to not make a trade and just take, let's say, Marvin Harrison with that pick to give Kyler Murray a weapon? Because then right after them, you got the Chargers. And you know that the Chargers are not going to take a quarterback because you have Justin Herbert. So they're open for business. And remember, Harbaugh's got a lot of work to do there. He's basically gutted that offense. And he's going to build that thing up from the ground. So I don't think he would be opposed to moving back a couple of spots, collecting more draft choices, building up that team into the vision that he sees fit. You know, he wants to play a ground-and-pound, smash-mouth football team, even though he's got Justin Herbert as his quarterback, and they play out in sunny Southern California. That is how he wants to go about it. You know, think back to those Niners teams that he coached in the NFL. Those dudes were as physical at the line of scrimmage on both ends of the ball as any team in the NFL. So 4 is open for business, 5 is open for business, and then you got the Giants at 6. The Giants stand pat at 6, they could probably get one of the top 2 wide receivers in this draft, right? Because if somebody's going to leapfrog them to go up and get a quarterback, well, they're not taking a wide receiver. So the Giants are going to get a really, really good playmaker. And as I said a little while ago, if I am the Giants, that is what I am doing. unless some team completely wants to blow me out of the water with a trade offer, I'm going to take a wideout. A guy who could stretch the field, scare defenses, and you know what? For as long as I have him under my roof, help out Daniel Jones. Give him something that he has not had since he's been the Giant quarterback. And that is a game-breaking wide receiver. Is that too much to ask? I'm sure that that's what Daniel Jones is bargaining for. So whether it's taking a quarterback in round one, trading up in round number two to get a guy, which has already been speculated. And I don't know who that player is, but I think you could get a quality developmental quarterback, whether it's in the second or the third round. Whether if Bo Nix slides to round number two. Spencer Rattler is a guy who once upon a time coming out of high school was like the number one recruit in the country. And a guy who was the MVP of the Senior Bowl just a couple of months ago. You know, things didn't work out for him in Oklahoma, went to South Carolina, and he's building his stock up again. But he's got the tools and he's got the talent. I'm just throwing some names out there. But whoever the Giants go get at the quarterback position, chances are they're not starting this year. So you could be a little bit more selective. And they could sit and they can watch and they can learn. Now with the Jets, it gets a little interesting. Because you're sitting there at 10. If the board falls a certain way, there's probably going to be four quarterbacks who are gone in the first nine, okay? Four quarterbacks, and dare I say, can we even say a fifth? Maybe yes, maybe no. I'd be shocked, but hey, it's the draft. The top three wide receivers might be off the board. Neighbors of Dunze, Harrison. That would be seven picks. There might be a defensive player. I mean, there's a chance that the top 10 picks might be all offensive players. You imagine that? But if the kid from Alabama gets drafted, which some people think he might, right before the Jets, well, in addition to maybe Joe Alt coming off the board, let's say it's 7 to Tennessee, which seems like a pretty good bet at this point, that means the Jets, if they stay pat at 10, will have every offensive lineman except for Joe Alt available, every defensive player in this draft, except for, let's say, Dallas Turner, available. And, oh, by the way, the number one tight end and a guy who really is just going to function as an all-encompassing playmaker and target for your offense in Brock Bowers. Now, there's a lot of ways you can go with this. And you know my feeling on it. When it comes to taking a tight end that early, it scares me. Because when you look at the value of the position and what ultimately you're getting a bargain for by having a guy play on a rookie contract, I don't know if the value is there for a tight end. And there was a tweet that was put out by Shale Capadia, who covers the NFL for a long time, does a good job. In the last 10 years, nine tight ends have been picked in the first round of the NFL draft. Nine. They've combined so far for zero all-pro nods and only one 1,000-yard season. 10 years. One of those nine players, and it was David Njoku with the Cleveland Browns, got a second contract from the team that drafted him. How about that? And we still don't know yet about Dalton Kincaid with Buffalo and Kyle Pitts for the Atlanta Falcons. Kyle Pitts was taken fourth overall. So I'm not saying that Brock Bowers would not help you if you're the Jets, but stay with me. What has this team been bitten by over the last handful of years more than anything else? Shoddy offensive line play, injuries to the offensive line play, a revolving door at the most important positions on the offensive line. I joke about it, but how many Sundays Greg and I sitting here on the pregame show and we're looking at each other and saying, well, you know, Greg, it's week 8 of the season and the Jets are already going to have their fifth different offensive line starting combination in just 8 games. How about that? Boy, it's tough to keep track of all these different bodies. I don't want to have to go through that again. You know, and I don't think the Jets do. And if you're a fan, you probably wouldn't want either. And the point being, You better have capable reserves. Injuries are bound to happen in the NFL in some capacity. No team goes through an entire season starting the same five offensive linemen. But now you need more capable reserves. And if you go out there and draft an offensive tackle, and I don't know how they have the board stacked, but let's just say the second best offensive tackle, whoever that might be, even if that guy doesn't start this year, he's probably going to be starting game one for you in 25. Right? You got two offensive tackles who are north of 30 years of age who are on one-year deals and are going to be free agents and no guarantee to be back next year. So why not draft the guy who's going to be ready to step in and play for you week one? And oh, by the way, if he's got to step in and play for you this year, it's not the end of the world. And you have a very, very, very capable guy waiting in the wings instead of one of these just swing tackles that obviously are overmatched and can't get the job done like we've seen over the last couple of years. This whole season is either going to boom or bust based upon the play of the quarterback. And if the quarterback can't stay upright, then you don't have a season. Take some football calls. 800-919-3776. The telephone number. Extra half hour still to come. We go till 9:30. Then it's NBA basketball. Dan Grasso Show, 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Dan Grasso Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Harvey is here. Julian is here. We got 30 more to play with. Then we have Warriors Kings basketball. Winner of that one will play the loser of this Lakers-Pelicans game, which right now is being led by the Lakers. They're up 13 midway through the third quarter. The loser of that game tonight is done. Finished, kaput. See ya. Go on the golf course, and we'll talk to you again in October. So a lot of things up for grabs here tonight. We've been all over the map. Keeping our eyes on the baseball games. Those late-inning Mets have done it again. They were trailing the Pirates 1-0. They have scratched across the tying run in the seventh inning. Joey Wendell with a game-tying double. Mets got the go-ahead runs in scoring position, still batting with one out. But it's amazing. The Mets just don't score and do anything offensively until the late innings. I mean, think about how good they could be if they would actually score runs early in the game and not put such of a strain on their pitching staff. You know what, Harv? I was thinking about something. Ryan Garcia is missing this right now. He's missing it. He could have been there. And he's out.
He really could have been.
You know, he's missing baseball history here. Carlos Rodon, not one of his better outings tonight up in Toronto. Four innings, five hits, three runs. Walked four guys. Location, a big problem tonight. Jays lead the Yanks 3-1. Still in the sixth inning. A lot of time left over there. As far as the hockey is concerned, big game tonight in Philadelphia. Washington and the Flyers 1-1. About 18 minutes to play in that game. Why is it a big game? Well, because if the Capitals win, they lock up that last playoff spot, and they will be the Rangers' opponent in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, the Islanders are going to be playing the Carolina Hurricanes in round number uno. Knicks await their opponent as well. We'll find out tomorrow, of course, between Philadelphia and Miami in the play-in tournament. We're talking a little NFL draft. There was a whole kerfuffle at Citi Field tonight with two boxers who were supposed to throw out the first pitch, but the Mets pulled the plug on it, and one of the guys went on a Twitter tirade. We played the audio for you. It was funny. You know, you could go back and listen to any of it on the ESPN New York app. So a lot of stuff on the agenda tonight here, of course, when you're talking about this program, as there is each and every night when we do a show for you. Let's go to the phones, though. A lot of people want to get in on the draft. Jets, Giants, what is going to happen a week from Thursday? Let's say hi to Subi in Midtown. He's up next here on 98.7. Hello, Subi. How are you?
Hey, Dan. Wanted to make two quick points about each team. With the Giants, you know, you have Bo Nix available in the second round. The Giants may push on that, but the problem is if Bo Nix turns out to be another Daniel Jones, which is just a mediocre quarterback. So at the same time, I'm just saying the Giants are going to be maybe in mediocrity for the next couple of years for that reason. And then with the Jets, same thing. Mel Kiper was pushing on the fact that these offensive linemen are just not that great as Joe Alt. They're not as good as Joe Alt. So why take him at 10 when you can wait and get later in the draft? And that's what my opinion is, too, is that if you have Bowers available, at least you have another threat who can be a decoy, just like Gronkowski was with Brady. And that's what I got to say is that why not have a decoy on the offensive side that can actually make Rodgers even better than he is right now? That's all I got to say.
No, Subi, there. Look, good points. Good points. And I thank you for the phone call, as always. Here's the thing, though, and we'll take them one by one here. We'll start with the Giants with the quarterback thing with Bo Nix. Giants right now have six draft choices. okay? Because remember, they gave up one of their twos in the Brian Burns trade with the Carolina Panthers. So the Giants right now have the sixth pick. They pick 15th in the second round. So what is that? That's 32, 15. What is that? 40, 47, 48. Is that what they're doing, right? With the, 47. And then they have a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 6. Joe Shane, I'm sure, wants to probably pick up a couple of extra choices along the way, which means you're going to have to do some wheeling and dealing. The quarterback the Giants take this year, if they take one, he's not going to play. Right? He's not going to play. And even if something happens to Daniel Jones, he's not going to play, because that's why you went and got Drew Lock. You know, Drew Lock is going to be the guy that steps in. Tommy DeVito is still hanging around. Let's not forget. Now with the Jets, the drop-off, and I'm going to include Brock Bowers in the same category as the wide receivers, targets, playmakers, right? The drop-off from the high-end tackles is greater in talent when you get to that mid-range prospect than what you have at the wide receiver position, right? What just happened in the Met game there, Harv? Did they call somebody out, or what did they – did they balk home a run? They balked home a run, but it was like a review or something, or like something weird just happened. Like McNeil left the batter's box, went to the dugout, came back. Mendoza, let me see. I think it's a balk situation. Yeah, he flinched right there. And then he started up again. You can't do that. That's a balk. And they thought that he called time. And then Carlos Mendoza came out and said, well, wait a sec, isn't that a balk? And then the umps got together and they ruled a balk. And then look, Derek Shelton, who's a pretty animated dude, the Pirates manager, he came out and conferred with the umpires, and he did not throw a you-know-what fit. So it was the right call. I mean, it's as plain as day. Like, he was leaning over to get the sign, and then he flinched, and then he, like, got himself in a new position, and then he came to his wind. So you can't do that. That is an easy balk. Ryan Garcia would have called that a balk, and he wasn't even in the ballpark any longer. So the Mets get a lead with a balk in the seventh inning. How about that? Where was I? Oh, yeah, the Jets. If you need to get a target for Aaron Rodgers, which I think we all agree that they need to do, you could get that guy in the third round, where you could get a really, really good wide receiver prospect still. A guy who could come in and play significant snaps for you. And I still believe that Joe Douglas does not want to go into this draft, even though he got a few compensatory choices down the road in the sixth and the seventh, including Mr. Irrelevant. Jets only have 7 picks. 1, a 3, 2 fours, no 5, a 6, and 2 sevens. I think he wants to get some more. That's just my own personal opinion. We shall see. And again, you're asking me, all things being equal, I'm going offensive line if you're telling me that everything is going to be on the board as you see fit, where you can get greedy and you could draft for need. I know that you say take best player available and all that stuff, but sometimes it doesn't hurt to take a guy if you have both players rated exactly the same and they just so happen to play different positions. You lean towards the need. Because this is an all-in year for the Jets. They got to do it this year. You got a quarterback where you don't know how much longer he's going to play. You got a lot of guys on this team who are on one-year deals. Both tackles. Mike Williams at wide receiver. Hassan Reddick, who you just traded for. Think about that. They got Hassan Reddick. You forget about that. Right? He's here. A lot of other guys on this team. One-year deals. You're going to eventually have to pay all those guys who are rookies, part of that 2022 draft class. The Breece Halls, the Sauces, the Garrett Wilsons, Jermaine Johnson, guys like that. Right? I just can't go through another year. I can't. Where you got guys in and out of this lineup, especially in the offensive line, and you don't have any capable reserves. I do not want to see that again. This inning has completely exploded on the Pirates. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's tough to see when you're just watching it up here and you don't have the sound and everything, but Mets now have a 3-1 lead, still batting in the seventh inning. It's what they do. Late inning Mets. 800-919-3776 is the telephone number. Remember, we go to the bottom of the hour, then we got some NBA playoff basketball for you. Grasso Show, 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Dan Grasso Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So, to my knowledge, I guess all the outrage and the uproar over the Billy Joel thing from Sunday night, the concert, that's kind of now been brushed aside and everybody could get on with the rest of their lives. And look, I love Billy Joel. He's in my top three, you know? He's one of my faves. Seen him in concert many times, have all the albums, know all the songs, everything. Love him, okay? But I was sitting there trying to get to the bottom of this outrage because I was watching that thing on Sunday night. Let me get this straight. And maybe people were not exactly, like, piped in as to what they were watching. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, I mean, it got a lot of publicity, but CBS was airing on Sunday night an abridged version of a Billy Joel concert from Madison Square Garden from a few weeks ago. It was his 100th concert at MSG. And right when they were doing the finale, he was playing Piano Man. CBS just, like, cut it and went to commercial. It already exceeded the two-hour window. They had to get to the local news because, remember, everything got pushed back because of the Masters running long. But there was just, like, this huge, huge eruption on social media. Like, how did they do this? How do you cut off? Oh, my God. Look, maybe some people were misinformed. Now, it was silly what they did, yes, but if it was a live concert, which they're never going to show you anyways on network television, then there could be outrage. Then you say, well, what do you mean it's a live show? How do you just take it out? What are you doing? But they didn't do that. This was a recorded show. Okay, number one. Number two, it was in a two-hour window with commercials. Okay, you're only getting what? Maybe an hour and 35 or an hour and 40 minutes of song, music, concert, whatever you want to call it. So you're missing a lot. Number three, the concert itself probably ran in the neighborhood of between 2.5 and 3 hours. That's my guess, just from the times that I've seen them. So you're missing at least an hour of the show that they're not showing you part of that CBS broadcast. And lastly, and again, I don't know how many people even, or maybe some people don't care about this. I, for one, am a stickler for these type of things because it kind of deprives you of the experience and what the performer actually had in mind when he put it together. To my knowledge, they weren't even showing you the songs in the order that they were played that night at the concert, which to me takes a little something away from it. It's like when you go watch a play or a musical, and you watch, okay, act one, and then all of a sudden they skip to, like, act four. And then after that, they play act two. Like, your head's going to be spinning. Like, there is something that goes into a set list and how they put it together. So combining all these things together, at least that's what I knew going into it, I just don't get bent out of shape over such things. Because it was already a skewed, abridged performance that CBS was giving you. Now, I would think, if CBS had the rights to put this thing out over broadcast television, I guarantee you that Billy Joel probably going to want to make some money off of this, which means it's probably going to end up on some sort of a streaming service, maybe the Paramount one, which CBS is affiliated with. Number two, maybe Billy Joel's going to put out the entire concert on like a Blu-ray or something like that for people that still buy physical media, you know, to where he can double up his pockets. Why not? So, again, like the outrage stuff, like I was still trying to just like get to the bottom of why this was happening. Did you get in the middle of that, Harv? Did you see all that? I mean, like it was 11:30 at night on Sunday and people were just like they cut out of the Super Bowl or something.
You would have thought that the president had an announcement to make.
Or something like that. God forbid.
But this just goes to show you that nobody's above the local news.
No, nobody. Nobody, especially not on Sunday.
No.
Well, you know what? Nobody's above 60 minutes either.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it's no different like that on Sundays with the NFL. If you're on CBS, you have to get 60 minutes in. Doesn't matter when it starts. It will be played in its entirety. You get the whole 60. And then they're going to show you whatever programs are on that night. Stretch it out late. And sometimes the news is going to come on, like you said, past 11:30 if they have to.
And then back in the day, it was Nobody Was Above Murder.
No.
She wrote.
Yeah. Murder.
Had a pause.
She wrote. She wrote. I mean, Mike Vaccaro, who I love, is one of the greats, but he like wrote a column about the Billy Joel thing and compared it to like it's like another version of the Heidi game, like Heidi game 2. No, it's not. No, it's Heidi game was live. That was live sports. Live sports where we did not know the outcome. And it was 1968 where there was no internet. This was a pre-recorded concert that happened 3 weeks ago that you could go online. You could probably go on YouTube and watch the whole damn show that somebody probably recorded and posted there with all the songs. Nothing gets cut off. I mean, it's just maybe it was a slow news day, and I wouldn't think it was. Right? I was at Citi Field on Sunday. Doc Gooden had his number retired. Mets had a nice late inning dramatic win. Knicks wrapped up the 2 seed. Like, there was a lot going on in sports. Like, why are we wasting all our time talking about Billy Joel and what CBS did? And I love Billy Joel. Love. Craig is in Lansing, Michigan. He's up next. Craig, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Dan, you know what? I usually, like I was telling your guy, your coworker, I usually call him with something, but I have questions this time.
Uh-oh.
I'm so intrigued by certain things. I'm not, you know, they're intriguing to me. And New York football is at the top of the list. I so want to see how Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers are going to play. I wanted to see how Aaron Rodgers was going to play last year, but we didn't get to see it, obviously, the injury. But I was wondering, because I saw how he played towards the end, losing to the Lions at home, Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, God, he just didn't look good. I wanted to see how is he going to bounce back from that.
Nobody has any idea, Craig, right? I mean, that's the big mystery about this. And that's what's interesting. Like, remember, there were people going into last year that forecasted already a downward slope for Aaron Rodgers. Because, as you said, you know, he had a little bit of an off year. He was playing with a broken finger in 2022. But Aaron Rodgers' down year is the
all
career
the young
year for most
receivers, too.
Right. In new receivers. But remember, an Aaron Rodgers' down year is a career year for most quarterbacks. So people were trying to throw that as fuel, saying, well, you know, he's going to be 40. He's not going to be able to turn back the clock. Now you throw in this injury 4 plays into the season. I think those questions are still going to surface as we get closer to the start of the season. I don't believe them, but I think a lot of people will.
Well, he finished up with, I think, 26 and 12, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. And the 12 interceptions were, I think, the most he had thrown in a decade. It might have been longer than that even. And right near his worst year. But like I said, breaking in new receivers, like you pointed out, the finger injury. So that's intriguing to me, more so than anything else in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, how's he going to play? Another thing is that the Dallas offseason, that doesn't, I'm not as critical as other people. I feel like, you know, they're going to try to build in the draft. I'd like to hear you comment on that if you would. But the last thing is, Dalvin Cook, what happened with that? Is he just done? Did he just fall off the face of the earth? I mean, what did you guys see there in the New York market that maybe I didn't see here in Lansing?
Nothing. When you ask me what I saw, the answer is nothing. He looked like any other back. If he was not Dalvin Cook, like if they had like no name on the back of his jersey, he would have just looked like any other back. You know, I think that burst that he used to have clearly is not there anymore. You know, he's had a really, really good career, Dalvin Cook. But he really had no role with the Jets. And you can blame the Aaron Rodgers injury all you want and the offensive lineman and all these things. You know what? When he had the opportunities, he didn't have that same burst. And I know he was coming off of an injury, but, you know, it went way into October and still nothing. That's number one. He goes to Baltimore and you're thinking, oh, well, the Ravens got a steal. He's going to help them win a championship. Really didn't do too much for them either. And now nobody has signed him so far here in the offseason. I'm not saying that he's done. You know, somebody's going to bring him to camp and give him a chance. But if you're expecting the Pro Bowler, the guy who ran for, you know, thousands of yards with the Minnesota Vikings, I don't know if that guy is still there. Cowboys will be fine. As long as the quarterback plays well, they'll be fine. Now, look, they got to shore up that offensive line a little bit. But Jerry didn't spend a lot of money this offseason. He did nothing. Let's see how they draft. But on paper, I mean, the Cowboys, they got enough talent. But if you're asking me right now on April 16th, before the draft, who I give the edge to in the NFC East, I got to side back with the Philadelphia Eagles again. Right now. Philadelphia's had a real good offseason. But championships, titles, those aren't won in the offseason. All right, well, our Twitter poll that we put up a couple of hours ago, there's less than an hour left, so check it out. At Dan Graca, G-R-A-C-A. Knicks fans, who do you want to face in round one? Heat, Sixers. Sixers have a narrow lead right now, 53% and change to 46%. And we have well over 300 votes. I think that Heat culture thing is scaring a lot of fans. Now, tomorrow, we're not going to have a program because the Islanders play their meaningless season finale. So that is what we are going to air right here on 98.7. We will be back with you on Thursday at 6:30, a full uninterrupted vehicle coming up on Thursday night. So we look forward to that. We will know who the Knicks are going to play by that point. We're going to be a week out from the draft. We'll know who the Rangers are going to play by that point. So a lot of stuff that we are going to sink our teeth into coming up on Thursday. Thanks to Julian. Thanks to Harvey. And thanks to everybody that called and tweeted and listened. Warriors, Kings, coming up next. A little play-in basketball right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Dan Graca Show on 98.7 ESPN.